Thank you, Carol. That's a great song and a great truth in it, that the God of gods is our best friend. All that God does, all that He's done, He's my best friend. Isn't that good? Boy, praise the Lord for that. I love it. That's a great start. Well, Ephesians 3 is a pretty tough passage, really. A lot of deep things in there. But there's three times a certain word is used. Anybody find the familiar word there? I could give you all kinds of hints, but we don't have time. Got to get out. Got to get to the restaurant. According to Jamie, we have to beat the Nazarenes. But anyway, let me say this. The theme for 2013, of course, is for such a time as this. And this month, it is a time for learning. And we learned about mortality. That was our first one. We learned about me. That was Wednesday night, just about us. By the way, that message on Wednesday night, probably the most written response of any message I've preached in years. Just positive, not negative, but positive response. And a lot of people just wrote that they needed that and everything. It's about me, just about us, and learning about us. And so mortality, me. And then today is about that word that I said appeared in this passage several times.
Mystery.
That's it. Mystery. God's mysteries. We're going to talk about today, this morning, and tonight, learning about God's mysteries. And this morning, the mystery in His methods. Tonight, we'll talk about the mystery in His message, but this morning, the mystery in His methods. You know, God does some amazing things. He really does, and He always has. And this passage talks about one of those things, and three times the word mystery or mysteries is used because it is one of those that we just can't possibly understand. I mean, it's just, we don't think that way. And so I want to talk to you about the mystery in His methods. Father, I pray that You will guide us and direct us this morning through Thy Word, and that Your Holy Spirit will give us the truth from it and make us different because of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:8, "For My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." We need to know that. We have got to know that. I mean, I look at things God does, and I just sometimes scratch my head like, what in the world is He doing? I don't understand this. It is a mystery to me, and it's always been that way with man. And He tells us why, because we don't think like God thinks. Our ways are not like His ways all the time. Now, we should be becoming more like Him, and we should be thinking more like Him the more we walk with Him. But so many things that God does are simply a mystery. They really are. Now, some of that's by design, but some of that is we just need to grow so that we can let Him teach us and show us. And we'll talk a little more about that tonight. But there's so much that we don't know. There's so much we won't know until we get to heaven. But I want to explore this morning the mystery in His methods. The mystery in His methods. Tonight we'll talk about His message. A lot of mystery in that, but we'll talk about that tonight. But His methods. Notice this passage of Scripture, and this is just one of God's methods. One of the things that He did or does, and we get a little picture of how it was a mystery, but He revealed it. Verse 3 says, "How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery." Paul talks about this mystery that God revealed to him and obviously also reveals here to us. Verse 4, he says, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He says, as you read this, you're going to understand this mystery. You're going to be able to follow it because God has revealed this to me. You'll notice verse 5, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." He said, this thing that I'm making known to you now, he said, that wasn't known. It was a mystery. People didn't understand. It was where they said, "I don't understand what God's doing. This doesn't make sense to me." Well, God is going to reveal that and let them know. And he says, now it is revealed. And what is it? Verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs." What? What do you mean? The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel? What about God's people? What about the Jews? What about God's people? They're a bunch of heathens. And all of a sudden, here a mystery is made known to man. Here a mystery, a mystery that people did not understand. They couldn't possibly have understood. It was a mystery until God said, okay, I'm gonna reveal this thing to you now, and now you can understand it. And the mystery that Gentiles, heathens, could be saved. By the way, praise the Lord for that. Amen. I am so glad that is the truth. But only can they be saved. It says, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now it's made known, Gentiles can be saved. And they can have the promises of God. They are God's people when they get saved. And all of a sudden, wow, this is something we couldn't possibly have understood. Couldn't have got it. I mean, my people. Who's that? Well, that's Israel. That's the Jews. That's the children of Israel. That's God's people. And all of a sudden, God says, no, I'll save anyone who wants to be saved. I'll save any sinner. Wow. And that's all of us. And so this mystery that God would save anyone was revealed. It was made known to Paul, and through Paul to us. And you know, again, it was made known. And by the way, now that it's made known to us, we can take the gospel and we can reach anyone. You can knock on a door, and if a Jew comes to the door, you can tell him how to be saved. If a guy comes to the door and he's holding a beer can, and he said, you know, he's not really in, he can get saved. And no matter who it is that comes to the door, no matter where you are, you can be in the prison, you can be in the store, you can be at a house, you can be anywhere, a person can get saved today. All we have to do is we have to take the gospel. We don't have to ask, hey, by the way, we can talk to you if you're a Jew. I remember we went down to Shreveport, Louisiana to pastor and came into a little church there. And started going soul winning, and we were knocking on doors. But the thing is, where we lived, they rented a house for us, sight unseen by us. And we went down there and lived. Well, everybody around us, they were all black. Everybody. I mean, we lived in a little suburb of Shreveport called Mooringsport, and there was a park right there, and I'd take David down there and play basketball, and we were the only white people playing basketball. And these guys would come around, and they called me the Rev, and we just played basketball with, and I'd challenge them to different things, only things that I could possibly do. Never was it a real game, but I'd challenge, you know, if you can make this shot, you know, close your eyes and do all this stuff and go under your arm, and it was impossible things for them, but I was able to do some of those things. But anyway, I'd challenge them, invite them to church. Well, all of a sudden, we've got people coming to church, but they're, you know, I found out in the church they were the wrong color. And I said, "What? You know, I don't understand it." I found out later on we had three or four folks that were members of the KKK in that church. I didn't know. I had no idea. I found out. Believe me. Oh, did I find out? And so I finally asked one of the fellows. You know, he says, "You know, Pastor, you just can't do it." I said, "What am I supposed to do? Knock on the door? And if a black person comes to the door, say, 'Oh, sorry, wrong door.'" I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Why? Because God made it known that anybody can be saved. God made it known you don't have to be a Jew to be saved. You just need to be a sinner that realizes you're a sinner and call on Jesus Christ and you can be saved. I'm so glad about that. And wow, that opens the door for everybody, doesn't it? Amen. So that's a great thing that God made known that was once a mystery. The people did not understand it until God made it known. And it shocked people. I mean, remember Peter as he deals with Cornelius. You know, not so, Lord. He just didn't understand. I don't have time to get into all of that. The main thing I want you to see is, though, that God often reveals, he makes known the mysteries about the things he does. Because we can't possibly understand. Hey, you know what? As you talk about the gospel, can you really grasp that God Almighty would send His Son to die on a cross to pay for our sins? I mean, honestly, that's amazing. Look real quick at Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 6. I think Romans 5 might be just, you know, you talk about mystery. You talk about not understanding. You talk about his thoughts are not my thoughts. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. We always read verse 8 and we should. But verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." I mean, he died for the ungodly. And then he says this, because we scratch our head and say, well, I don't understand. And it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. I mean, it's a rare thing for somebody to die for somebody who is doing good things. That doesn't happen very often. And it says, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But what did God do? God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. You talk about something, our mind, I cannot wrap my brain around that, except that he made that known to me. I never would have figured that out. I never would have figured that out on my own. I'm sorry. I think of a father and his son, and I think, you know, Tim, you might, but I can't even imagine for somebody good. Ray Hollins, he's a pretty good fella. And if somehow you could give your son to save his life, but it's going to cost your son's life, you know, I can't imagine you ever really doing that. But then I think about that, and then I think about some wicked person somewhere. Not here, but somewhere. And you given your son? My son sits here, and I cannot imagine. I mean, Glenn Carpenter's a great guy, but I can't imagine me making that choice and saying, I'll give my son so you can live. But it's not even about a good guy. It's about sinners. It's about sinners. It's about people that hate God. And people that live against God and against what God says. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And honestly, it is such a mystery to us. Unless God tells us that's what he did, we never would have figured it out. We never could have known. We couldn't have imagined. But see, God revealed it to us. And so it's no longer a mystery. And it's why Brother Marwell, he's doing what he does. It's not a mystery anymore. Now we know we can take the good news anywhere. We don't have to just go to Israel, brother. We don't have to go to Jewish neighborhoods. We can go anywhere. We can go to the nastiest part of the city. We can go to the rich people. We can go anywhere now. We can run buses. We can go anywhere. We should, shouldn't we? Since we can. But it's not a mystery anymore, because God let it be known. This method is puzzling. And it's only puzzling, and it's only a mystery because we don't think like God. And I say all that. That's all kind of introduction to the idea. There are many mysteries as far as God's methods. The things God does. There are many mysteries. In fact, Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Look at it. Deuteronomy 29:29. And I've used this verse many, many times in my own life. It has helped me so much, you know. We find ourselves over and over, God, I do not understand. I do not get it. It does not make sense. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And there are some things God just has chosen not to tell us. Praise God, he told us how to be saved. Praise God, he told us that we could be saved. Praise God, though my last name is not Schwartz or a Jewish name, praise God, I can still be saved. Praise God, you can be saved. Praise God, anybody, any neighbor, anybody in Lenawee County, anyone can be saved. Praise God, he told us that, but there are some things he's chosen not to tell us. He's chosen to keep those things a mystery. The mystery in his methods. God, why'd you do that? And we often find ourselves sometimes real early in the morning, real late at night, we find ourselves saying, God, I just don't understand. Why did you allow this? Why did you do this? Why is this happening? God, I love you. I don't understand. Why? Why? Here's the thing. He has made known enough so that we can trust him. Amen. Listen to me. He has made known. Okay, he made known the gospel. He made known that we could be saved. He told us enough. He gave us the plan of salvation. It's so precious on a Wednesday night as children are in the master clubs. And I often will listen as one of our soul winners is going through that wonderful plan of salvation. And a little child is looking up and listening and maybe hearing it for the very first time. God has made known how to be saved. He's made it known to us. It is enough now. And we would say, as a soul winning church, we would say, hey, we have enough to show you how to be saved. I'm telling you today, dear Christian, you have enough to be able to trust God. Amen. With whatever that thing is that brings tears to your pillow, that brings thoughts of, why, God? That pulls at your heart and it hurts so much. He's shown you enough so you can trust him. I remind you that Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he says, dear Christian, he says, I've given you enough. I'm not explaining why. I'm not telling you exactly the reason this happened, but I've given you enough to know you can trust me. I've given you enough as you go to the hospital and there's questions going through you. I've given you enough so that you can say, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I've given you enough so that as you sit down with the funeral director and you plan this thing out and you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I've given you enough to know that you can trust me. God's methods, they baffle us. They baffle a pastor so many times. Brother Marwelli, you know what I'm talking about. You sit back and you say, God, this doesn't make sense to me. But I trust you. Because God, I can trust you with what's not known because you've already made known enough. I trust you with what's not known. And just like in our text here, God revealed the salvation of the Gentiles. But before we knew that, we already knew God loved us. We already knew of God's love. And we needed to find out that, hey, anybody could be saved. But before that, we've started to realize, you know what? God loves us. And he revealed that over and over and over. And so the questions come to our minds, and God over and over wants to remind us, I've shown you enough so you can trust me. I want to know the details. I hear it often as a pastor. I don't understand why God did this. I want to know why. And God says, no, here's what you need to know. You need to know you can trust me. Here's one that I've heard before. Why did this child die? Brendan and I were talking about this the other day, some of the funerals, and I don't even remember. I think it all started, somebody asked me about my first marriage that I did. Who was that? Somebody here asked me that yesterday. What was that you, Mark? Thanks a lot. Good night. I've still been trying to figure that out. And going way back, but I couldn't remember my first marriage, but I remember the first funeral. And it was a young girl. My wife's sister-in-law, 22 years old, died of cancer. First funeral. And everybody. And everybody's saying, Pastor, could you tell, why did God take her? And I'm an authority. Because I'm going to God saying, God, I don't understand this. I baptized her 2 weeks before I buried her. God, I don't understand this. I mean, she was 22. I think I was 23 or 24. And then all the children. We were talking about a young boy that I did the funeral for, 14 years old, died of cancer. And how the whole church, I mean, so many people in the church, we were all in his room singing as he was taking his last breaths. I remember it as if it was yesterday. Can't remember that first wedding, but boy, these funerals, they just all come to mind. But probably because people are asking me, Pastor, can you tell me? And I'm going to God at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. God, I don't get it. I don't understand this. Why did this child die? I don't know, but I do know that Jesus said about children, he said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. I know he said that. I don't know why the child died, but I do know it's appointed unto man once to die. We all die. I do know that. And I don't know why the child died, but I do know that our time on earth is short compared to eternity. I mean, that doesn't give comfort to a parent who just lost their child, but I'm not the comforter. It's something God revealed to us. It's something he made known to me. He said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, we all die. And he said that eternity is long. And our time on this earth is short, no matter who we are. And so he says, just trust me. See how God, he makes known enough so that I can finally say, you know what? I trust you. I trust you, God. I believe you. The question comes up, why are people handicapped? Why are some folks handicapped? Why are they deaf? Why are they blind? Why are they crippled, maimed, halt? Why are there mentally handicapped folks? Why? Why is it? I don't know why. He didn't tell us why. But I do know this. Look at Exodus 4 and verse 11. Watch it now. Exodus 4 verse 11. These are the mystery in God's methods. Exodus 4, verse 11. Here's what I know, because it's revealed to me. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? You mean it wasn't a genetic oops? There are no oopses with God. There aren't any. Pastor, when you have to put those drops in your eyes because of glaucoma, don't you get mad? I did get mad until I took what I knew. Until I remembered what I knew, and that is God made my eyes. And my eyes are a whole lot better than some people's eyes. You know the things we get all bent out of shape over because it's a mystery to us? There's a God in heaven knows exactly all that's going on. And you know what he wants us to do? Because he commands us to, and it pleases him when we do it, is to trust him. Amen. And so it's been years now that I put my little drops in my eyes and I rejoice that there are little drops to put in my eyes. I don't know why there are handicapped folks. I do know that God made them the way he made them. And in John chapter 9, a man is born blind, and all the people are trying to figure out, why is he blind? What did his parents do to deserve that? What did he do? I mean, how could this possibly be? And you know what? It all boiled down to this. God said, to bring glory to me. Do you want to know where the glory to God, most of it comes from at Berean Baptist Church? Right across the parking lot in the gym right now. There's folks in there just praising God. Just praising the Lord. There's canes. There's wheelchairs. There's folks that are wearing Depends. Listen to me now. There's folks, that's all they've ever known. That's it. That's been the whole life. And they're praising the Lord.
Amen.
And they're singing. And it's real. And it comes down to, I'm going to just trust God with it. I don't know because he didn't tell me. I just know he did. He made us the way we are. Talked about that Wednesday night. People say, you know, we're thinking Jesus is coming anytime. Praise the Lord. When will Jesus return? I don't know. We don't know. But here's what I know, okay? Here's what I know. Matthew 24:36. This thing is revealed to me. I'm amazed how we struggle with this. Honestly, it blows my mind. Here's what I know. Because he showed me. He told me. God's method. You know, why didn't he just come now? Don't know. Why didn't he come earlier? Don't know. Why isn't he coming tomorrow? He might. But I don't know. Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No. No. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Of that day. Somebody says, Pastor, can't you figure it out? No. Why? Because he didn't reveal that to us. He didn't show us that. It's a mystery. But it's more than a mystery. It's imminent. It means he can come anytime. That's what's so good. I do know. You say, Pastor, when is Jesus returning? I don't know, but I know this. No one knows. I know that because he said so. Yeah, but what about the guy that... What about all the people? Guys, girls, everybody. They've all predicted it. Going to be 1844. Whole religion built on that. They're still meeting. You'd think that thing would close. When he didn't come. I'm just saying nobody knows. Here's what I know, though. I know that in a moment, twinkling of an eye, last trump, is it at Gabriel's lips? I kind of think trumpet's out of the case. I don't know. I think it is, but I don't know. You say, I'm waiting. Amen. But don't just wait. Work.
Amen.
That's what we need to do is work, because it's any time. And I do know, he said, prepare to meet thy God. I know that. I'm frustrated with people who treat the Bible like it's a jigsaw puzzle to get their prediction. That's not what the Bible's for. We need to take it out. He told us anybody can be saved. That's clear to us. Me sitting down wasting a whole bunch of time trying to figure out the exact day and the exact hour when he said nobody knows. Hello. What does he say? He says, be ready. Amen. See, there's a lot. These mysteries, I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of them. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It is his glory to know things I don't know. It's like okay, if the secretary knows as much as the CEO, why is the CEO the CEO? If the child knows as much as the parent, and I know they think they do, but if the child knows as much as the parent, why did God tell the parent to be in charge? If the students, school starting soon, if they know as much as the teacher, then why isn't the role reversed? And they would like to. And it'd be recess all day. Do you understand? God is God. What does he want us to do, preacher? Well, he's given us enough. He's made known enough that we trust him with the mysteries. We just have to trust him. We can know what he wants us to know because it's here. We can know the things he wants us to know, and I'm telling you this morning, that's enough. That's enough. Why did that accident happen? Last night we spent about an hour with Bill and Leona Alfrey yesterday early afternoon, and we sat and we talked to him, and then yesterday evening we get a phone call. Leona's fallen. I mean, we had just talked to her just yesterday afternoon about her last fall, and how bad it was, and why. Pastor, can you tell me why? I mean, these are sweet people. They love God. Why are they? Did she have this accident? Why? I don't know. But I do know this. I know there are no accidents. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Proverbs 16:33. One of my favorite verses. Preached on it a few years ago. First time ever. And I absolutely go back to this verse over and over and over and over again. Preached a message called No Such Thing as Luck. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Amen. Like flipping a coin, heads or tails. And if God, hey, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The lot's cast, and God turns it the way he wants it to go. I love that. I mean, if God's going to turn that lot the way that he wants it to go, whichever little nick, the lot, you know, it has little notches on it, one or two or three or whatever, a little mark of some kind, and you throw that thing up in the air and you cast it in the lap, and whichever way it turns, that's what we're going to do. And my Bible says, God, it lands on the side and God flips it the way he wants it to go. There isn't any such thing as luck. There are no accidents. God's in control of everything. And why can't we believe that? Yeah, but it rained on my picnic. That was God's will. Who controls the rain? Isn't the green grass beautiful? In August. I don't remember. I'm not sure I've ever seen green grass in Adrian, Michigan in August till this year. I can't remember it. I mean, honestly, Brother Bremer, he'll testify to this. I guarantee he will. I mean, all of July, most of the time, toward the middle of July on, he's telling me he's going to get his feathers out and do a rain dance. Not this year. No feathers. Are you listening? Why? God's in control of all that. I watch storms. I watch all this stuff. I could have been a meteorologist. I enjoy all that stuff. And I watch these storms. And sometimes we'll have this nasty storm headed toward Adrian. And all of a sudden it comes to Adrian and then it just splits. And there's lightning to the south and lightning to the north. And we're just kind of watching. We need rain. God says, no, you don't. Glory to God. I watch it with blizzards. And I know that there are fundamental Baptist kids begging God, oh God, let the blizzard hit. Oh God, please bring it here. And they're 6 inches north, 8 inches south, and we have a little skim of snow. And Brother Chase does a 2-hour delay. But everybody else gets out, you know? And God brings the fog, and God stops the fog. And God brings the ice. And God melts the ice. Why the accident? I have no idea why it took place. I do know this. There aren't any. Job did. There was nothing was an accident in Job's life. Everything happened because God said it's okay. It can happen. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God. We know. That's something we know. Amen. No accidents. It's so sad because so many Christians are trying to figure out these kinds of things. They're trying to figure out what he hasn't made known to us. And what we need to do is get busy with the things he has made known. You know, well, you just try to figure this thing out. I don't, you know, this happened to this family or that happened to them. And, oh, I got to put all my, no, listen to me. Here's what we need to do. Here's what he made known. He made known that people can be saved. He made known that anybody can get saved. He made known that when you get saved, you need to get baptized. He made known that when you get baptized, you need to get in church and be faithful to church. And we not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And he made known we need to tithe. And he made known we need to go soul winning. And he made known we need to serve. You know, but I'm trying to figure out why my mom died when she was 98. Boy, I'll tell you, you're going to struggle with that one, I'm sure. Well, I'm trying, you know, I had a brother and we were both real young. And, you know, he was only 8 and God took him. And I'm just trying to figure out, listen to me. When you get to heaven, you will have plenty of time to ask your brother. I'm just saying, there is so much. I want to close with just several things that I wrote down here that first one, I do not know why you have money problems. I don't know why the economy is the way it is in Michigan. We can blame this and blame that. Well, it's the previous governor. It's the previous president. It's the president's, you know. Okay, I don't know why. Do you understand? There are some rich people in Michigan. Do you realize that? There are some heathen rich people in Michigan. I'm talking about wicked. They aren't in church today. They don't care about church. They could give and we could have all brand new buses. Amen. I'm just saying there are tons of rich people. I don't know why you're having your financial problem. Here's what I do know, because he showed me this in his word. I know ye have not because ye ask not. And I know that if we pray, my God shall supply all your needs. I do know that. Don't know why. I ask God all the time, God, why don't you give me $1 million? God, you know my heart. And he says, that's why I don't give you $1 million. And don't be so pious, you don't have $1 million either. But I financial problem. But then I look around and we've all eaten. Some. Often. We're all okay. Right? Roof overhead? Cars? Yeah, my car's a junker. But it got you here. Barely. Barely's here. I don't know why you have a physical problem. What, pray for folks? There's folks in this room right now. I say, God, they can't take anymore. But then I'm reminded, who in the world am I to say that to God? Who am I to say to God they can't take anymore? How foolish we are to ever think that. Here's the thing. I don't know why people have physical problems, but I do know, and I believe it with all my heart, God can heal anybody. I've watched him. I've anointed. You've anointed people. I've anointed people with oil and watched God take away cancer. But I've also watched people die of cancer. I know he can heal. And the only thing I can say, I have my own wife here all these years after a car wreck in pain every day of her life. And I've anointed her with oil and prayed and begged God and fasted. And I know God could heal her. I've watched God heal others with the same kind of thing. What are you going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God because I know he could heal her, but he didn't. And you know what? That's what you need to do too. Because he could, but it's not always his will. Sometimes it's his will that we go through this thing and trust him. I don't know why there's trials. I don't know why some of you are going through some of the trials you're going through, but I do know he loves you. I do know that. And I know he's with you. And I know he'll help you. And I know there's nothing more precious than to know his arms are around you. And he lets you know he loves you. I don't know why we go through these things. I don't know what temptation is next. But I know I can pass whatever it is. I know I can. Say, preacher, how could you know? I know I can because he's not going to let it come to me if I can't. Because he said he'll always make a way to escape that she may be able to bear it. I know whatever it is, whatever the test. I know that as he goes through the files and he checks out what I can handle and the devil says, I'm going to throw this at him. And God says, no, you can't throw that at him. That's 2 years from now. But you can throw that at him. And I know as it comes and I may wonder, how in the world can I handle this? I know I can because he said I can. Amen. Whatever you're going through today, you can. And you can get through this day, and you can get through tomorrow, and you can get through next week. And I know you can because he said you can. I don't know if one person will be saved, but I do know he told me to go and tell him how. And so we know enough to just trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we know enough to trust him, folks. We really do. And some of you are going through heartaches, and I cry for you, I weep for you. But I know this, there's one who cares a whole lot more. Carol sang about him. He's my very best friend. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.